You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and again, I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers, our beloved brothers and sisters around the world. I wasn't able to connect immediately, and there was some space there. I figure that gave you some time to get yourself a drink, clear your mind, get ready to think. And I had to replace Laura's show with a repeat, and I wasn't able to put anything in to fill in the extra amount of space for some reason that I can't explain. Well, the title of this message is Let's Talk Again. You know, I'm enjoying all the teaching we get here from all the people involved in EFR. And one of the first things I'd like to thank is I'd like to thank some people that gave some donations, and thanks to Eli for calling that out. It's much appreciated. And I assure you that your money will not be wasted in any form or fashion. I happen to have had to change careers, and I'm at the beginning of a different career at this point. And it takes time to get ensconced into it. So, you know, many of us are having a tough time at this point. As we know, the Jews and their federal agencies are trying to regulate small businesses out of business. And that's kind of something that was happening to me in my former business. They're trying to make sure that Whitey doesn't have a job, is what I'm trying to tell you. And so I appreciate whatever you can do for those of us that need it to just help us get through this period. Once I'm on my feet, I'll let you know. But I do appreciate it. And I really didn't want to say anything about this, but, you know, that's the way it is. You know, I've never been out of work my entire life, really, when it comes down to it. I remember once when I was back from the service, I was out for a small amount of time. But even as a boy, I was a paper boy. So I've been working. I'm not a lazy person, as it should appear to you. But I will say one thing. I was telling Eli, you know, this is part of the things we talk, you know, why I'm calling this Let's Talk Again. As I was talking with Eli, I had asked Yahweh to retire me, to let me be retired and just work for him. Well, our people, many of our people are just takers. They come and they take, and they give nothing back except criticism, many of them. Now, if that doesn't fit you, don't get mad at me. I'm not speaking to you. We've got people out there, you know, Pastor Steve's show wasn't being archived. Because if I don't do it, it's not going to get done, ladies and gentlemen. Do you understand that? And so they're up there writing us on EFR saying, good job, EFR. If this is such an important show, why isn't it archived? You know, these are the same people that when the show goes up, they'll just take it for free and run away. I'd love to say to them, well, why don't you give a donation and then maybe we'll be able to get these things up faster for you people. Do you think they'd give? Now, this isn't about donations, I'm sorry, but I had to just tell you, I get a big kick out of people. Bunch of takers. You see the work that's being done here. Of course, Eli and I were accused of being false prophets just recently because we use the word Jesus from time to time by accident or because we used it. So I just want you to know that, you know, if you feel that Eli and I are false prophets, I never said I was a prophet at all. I don't even tell you I'm a pastor, but I am. But I'm not ordained by anybody except Yahweh. And if he chooses to unseat me, don't you worry about it. He'll do that when he deems it to be needed, if it is needed. So I get a big kick out of these people. They can criticize. They take everything. But they give nothing. They're not helping the cause. You know, I had one guy say to me also, I tell you people that here at EFR, what we're trying to do is gather the tribes, to regather the tribes. Like I did the thing on women last week, asking our women to have children, to love us again, to come back and gather back together and help save our race by having as many children as possible. And trusting that somehow Yahweh's going to take care of all that. And of course he can. And I believe he will. But I had one guy say to me two different times in a message, F the French. So you know what I did with him? He's no longer on the channel. I don't want to hear anything from him anymore. The French are our brothers. I happen to be French too. I'm German, English, Irish, and French. Now, I don't care if he says F the French to me. But the French are our brothers and sisters. They are of the tribes of Israel. And I don't want to F the French. I want the French to come and gather with us. So, what I say to that so-called brother is F him instead. Pardon the euphemisms. I'll take the French over you any day. F you. Now, that's the kind of stuff we don't need. That's the kind of stuff we will, of course, refute. No, we will not F the French. French are our brothers, and we love our brothers and sisters. Many of the French fought with the Germans against the Jews. Even though some of the French went against the Germans, there were many Frenchmen that fought with the German soldiers, just in case you didn't know that. I mean, I can get off on all kinds of tangents, and that's okay. I just want to mention that to you. No, we love the French. I love the French's culture. All right, another item is I wanted to let you all know that you can donate on davidjamesboston.com to Eli and I, and how you can do that is you're going to get a 16 gigabyte flash drive, which you can use in your car, if you have the USB, you can use it on the newer bro boxes or whatever you want to call those, boom boxes that have the USB. You can use it in your computer. You can put a lot more shows on it than it's already on there. What I've put on this is the Revelation series that Eli and I did. 14 parts, 2 hours a pop. And just for added measure, I cleaned up the Bertrand Comparé Revelation series. These are two of the best series, if not the best series. I don't know how to say it, series is on Revelation that I've ever heard. If I do say so myself. And I mean especially Bertrand Comparé's. Absolutely remarkable. So for $25, That includes shipping and handling in the United States, that is. I don't really know what to do about trying to send it overseas. Maybe you can add a couple of dollars if you're from overseas, you know, a few dollars just to make up for the shipping. So when you do this, it's got a PayPal button, and you just hit the PayPal button to donate, and make sure you leave your name and your mailing address so that the product can be mailed to you directly. So remember, it's a 16 gigabyte flash drive. So you're getting something pretty nice there. You can put, I mean, probably thousands of shows on there. I've been able to put probably somewhere around that, 1,000 shows on there. And you can take them off and you can put on other shows. You could use it for whatever you want. You could just take the Revelation series, put it on your computer, and then use the flash drive for whatever you wish. Especially when you're driving to and from places, I always tell people that you should use your time doubly. If you're going to be driving an hour or half an hour to work and half an hour back, you could be educating yourself during that period of time. And that's what this thing will help you do. Okay? If you were to put all that material as CDs, you'd have, that's 2 hours, right? Times 14, you'd have 28 CDs to just for Eli and my series there on Revelation. That'd be 28 CDs you'd have to carry around with you. This is right on a flash drive. You don't have to carry anything except bring the little flash drive with you. So, again, that can be gotten on davidjamesboston.com in my store, in my PayPal shop. And thank you. Now, the next subject. You know, I've told people before that Cain lied to the face of Yahweh. And he did. I don't know how he could do such a thing. I don't know how he had the guts or the gall or whatever you want to call it, the chutzpah. I don't know how you could lie to the face of Yahweh. But Cain did. He said he didn't know where his brother was. Now, Cain was a child of fornication and adultery. So he was a race-mixed being, and he also, it was cheating. The one who got with Eve, cheated. She cheated on Adam. You know, this is very funny that right in the beginning, our woman weren't true to us then. And then you look at a thing like Samson and Delilah. There it is again. She wasn't true to him. And you think of today, but I don't want to get into that really heavily. I think you understand what I'm saying. It's a bad sign that she was not true to Adam in the first place. But no wonder it carries on through all of time with many of the same things. Thank God for the godly women. Thank God for the godly women all through time that remained true to their God, true to their man, and obeyed Yahweh. That's all I really have to say about that. But here's the very interesting thing. I want you to realize this now. Now, I told you Cain, he's race mixed, so he's a child of fornication. And he's a child of adultery. Now, his relatives in John 8:41. Now, 8:41, let's think about that. 8 and 4 is 12, plus 1 is 13. But also, you could minus the 1. 8 and 4 is 12, minus 1 is 11, Edom. Just for fun, I like to play around with the numbers, folks. Here's what it says in John 8:41. Ye do the deeds of your father, Now pay attention. Then they said to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Now, they're lying to the face of God yet again. They're relatives. Now, these are the seed line of Cain. Remember, he told them, "Ye are guilty of the blood all the way from Abel to Zechariah, whom you slayed between the temple, the altar and the temple." This proves who they are. Think about what I'm saying. Cain was a child of fornication and adultery. And he lied to the face of Yahweh himself. Here they are years later, the very same relatives of Cain, whose father was a murderer from the beginning. And of course, Yeshua is just telling them the truth. I'm sorry, I could have said Jesus there. Would that bother you, ladies and gentlemen? Would that bother you if I said Jesus said this? "Ye do the deeds of your father." And it's, of course, lowercase f. Your father. Remember I told you this proves that their father is different than Yeshua's father? Because Yeshua's father has a capital F. "So they said unto him, We be not born of fornication." They lied to him right there. He knows how they were born. He knows who they are. He knows their ancestry. And to his very face, which I'm convinced this is Yahweh in the flesh, his very relatives, that many years later, are lying to his face yet again. Now, what does that tell you? That should be proof to you that not only is Jesus not a Jew, but this shows that the Jews are liars. They always have been liars because Cain, he tells them that Cain was a murderer and the father of lies, because the truth abode not in him. Remember, when you tell the Jews the truth, they want to kill you. The truth does not abide in the Jew. The lies abide in the Jew. You can see it because it always comes out of them. I'm not saying they can never say the truth. Sometimes Yahweh forces them to say the truth. And they say things that they really probably didn't want to say in the first place. Like, their God is Lucifer. He probably didn't want to say that. He probably was forced to say that somehow. I told you a long time ago that the truth and Jews are like oil and water. So just dig what I'm telling you. Cain lied to the father's face. Then his relatives lied to his face again. That is a testimony, ladies and gentlemen. That is a testimony. That is scripture proving that Yeshua is always right about what he says. Of course he knows who they are. He knows where they came from. Okay, the next thing I'd like to discuss. You know, I don't really want to say too much about this, but I'm going to tell you what the purpose of the Pulse False Flag is all about. Well, number one, we know that it's to take the guns away from the American people, the white American people. Because they'd love to have a bigger underground selling of weapons. You know, this is the same reason why they make marijuana a drug. See, they illegalize it because they can make more money from it by illegalizing it, by making it not legal. Now, not only do they make more money by selling it illegally, but now they're also able to put laws to make it a crime so that they can collect money from it being a crime. Okay, so they want to the Jewish mafiosos who are dealing in weapons worldwide, who the quadroon, Eric, whatever his name is there, he was caught giving guns to the Mexican drug cartels. And you see all these blacks have tons of guns and tons of ammo. They don't want to take the guns away from them, and you do realize that. You do realize that what has happened in the other countries around Europe and Australia, etc., that they've taken the guns away from the white people, but the other people still have the guns. Those other people aren't going to turn the guns in. And then they're going to have the Jewish mafioso underground selling guns for 2 times, 3 times, 5 times the price. Another industry. So the reason for the pulse false flag, there's even more reasons than that. Let me tell you the next reason. What they want to do is drum up sympathizers for the homosexual sector of our people in our land today. I don't really, you know, these people are a messed up people. They're very hurt people. They're very messed up. However, Yahweh does not have any mercy for them. He wants them to be eradicated because they will effect the population and infect the population as well, in more ways than one, ladies and gentlemen. So they're trying to drum up sympathy for homosexuals and transsexuals and transgenders and all this stuff. I don't have any emotion. I don't feel anything about those people being killed. But I will tell you one thing. I already told you this on my news show, and I want you to pay attention to what I'm telling you. I have a video, and what they're doing is the club was down to the right, and they were coming from the left, way down the street, and they were carrying supposed wounded people toward the club. Now, use your brain for a minute. If you were shot in an area, if you were at war, out in a foxhole or whatever you want to call it, would you be running to a foxhole that just had a bunch of bombs and bullets shot at it? Or would you try to run away from that area? I mean, this is it's just absolutely stunning to me. You will see this video. They're carrying them. There's no blood. There's no injuries. They're carrying them towards the Pulse Club. Another reason they're doing this is because every time they do this, they want to tighten down the regulations. I already told you the Dick Act of 1902. Any kind of gun laws that they try to modify, any kind of weaponry they tell you can't have, it's illegal and it's non-valid because of the Dick Act of 1902. Again, I keep repeating myself about this. I don't know why I'm the only one speaking about this. But sooner or later, people are going to start picking up the ball. But what I really get a humor out of with this whole thing is, these people haven't got any brains. Obama, the FBI, all these stupid organizations. I want you to hear something. After every one of these shootings that has happened, a plethora of people have gone out and bought guns and ammo. What do you think happened after this so-called pulse shooting? False flag nonsense. You know what happened? Gun sales went crazy. So the people are getting further armed and further armed and further armed. And these idiots They don't really know what to do, to be honest with you. I find it quite humorous, really. You're not going to drum up any sympathy for homosexuals from me. And let me speak for Pastor Bob, because I heard him talk about it. You're not going to drum up any sympathy from Pastor Bob either. Another reason for this, of course, this guy worked with Homeland Security. Do you understand? This is the same old, same old, same old, same old. They're trying to make the Muslims hate us more and more. That's what all these wars and bombings were to do. We weren't bothering each other. We were leaving each other alone. And the Jew, through their war campaigns, remember what I said on my news show? That the United States, excuse me, I burped. Oh, one, excuse me. Sorry. Anyway, it happens. You know, it's just part of life, humanity. they want to give Israel, I want you to listen to this again. I said this on my news show. This is from a headline. They want to give Israel, listen very carefully now, $40 billion to help destabilize the Middle East. Yes, you heard it correct. To help destabilize the Middle East. So America, who has these people, they're shoving them in our country, and all of them are being spread into Europe because of these war campaigns of the Jews. So now America wants to give the Jews $40 billion to further, let me add a little line into it, to further destabilize the Middle East. And what's going to happen when they do that? More people are going to leave their countries. And of course, Mr. Netanyahu and some other Jew, as I've said, I'm repeating myself, they said that they're going to restructure the Middle East. Just him and some other Jew made that decision. They didn't ask anybody else. Didn't ask Yahweh. Didn't ask the UN. Didn't ask anybody. They decided they're going to restructure the Middle East. The baby killer, Netanyahu. And the U.S., you, dear listener, are going to pay for that, so that they can bring them to your country and use them. See, here's what I told you. I want you to see it so that you understand why what's happening is happening. A long time ago, Albert Pike sent a letter to Mazzini, which means Mason in Italian, believe it or not, about the three world wars. And the Third World War was supposed to be against Muslims and Christians. Now, before 9/11 happened, there wasn't much going on. We weren't enemies. We were basically, you know, no problems in those areas. I mean, very little compared to now, right? So, they couldn't get us. They couldn't figure out how we're going to get these people to war each other. So the first thing they did is the Jew. They always hated the Jews, but they didn't hate us. So the Jew, through their money and through their mercenary military, you know, all over Europe and America, they sent us over there for, you know, they were going to pay us with debt notes to go over and disturb people's lives, you see. You know, people that were left alone and were fine, they wanted us to go over there and rout them out of their holes, you see, and destroy their lives and their children and their families and their homes and their trees and their gardens and root them up so that they could come to our nation and that they would be very angry with us and want to go to war with us. Now, the Jews did this for several reasons, so that they could take further freedoms away from all of our countries. They always do this to modify the laws. Whenever you're at war, you can modify the laws. That's what it's all about. So there's many reasons. They also used it to steal Gaddafi's gold. They used it to steal the gold that was in the two buildings at the bottom of the Twin Towers. They also used it to steal all the Babylonian artifacts that they could out of Iraq, etc., etc., etc. They also did it so that they could get control over the poppy fields in Afghanistan. You see, they were letting those poppies die, and we have our soldiers over there guarding it so that it'll thrive, so that we can keep people in bondage and on heavy-duty drugs. But the Jews doing this with our country, and Whitey's taking the blame for it all, even though some of Whitey is participating in it, thinking he's doing the Lord's work. You know, the Jewish Jesus, the hippie that loves all the world. He loves when people race mix. You know that Jesus I'm talking about? Now these people hate the white people more than they hate the Jew. So now the Jew has helped them to come to our countries in the guise of being refugees. You have to wonder, you know, if Sting wrote that song as a prelude to this deliberately because he knew what was going to happen. Or was it, what's his face there? Refugee, whatever it is. I don't know if it's, I forget his name, Tom something. But anyway, now you see them in our countries. They hate us more than they hate the Jew. Now, they are going after the Jews in our countries as well. So the Jew is going to run away and leave us holding the bag. You understand? But they could not start this war any other way, because we were not enemies with the Middle East. So they made the whole world hate America. And they've made all the races hate Whitey, and now they're going to, what Pike said was, we're going to unleash the nihilists. We're going to unleash the atheists. And that's exactly what has happened. So the Jews now are in fear of their lives by these Muslims. But these Muslims will work with them, and I'll show you a Jewish quote in a few seconds that'll blow your socks off, okay? So now they've created the war. You see, because they couldn't bring us to the war except our Shabazz Goy race traitor military, now they've brought the war to you, ladies and gentlemen. They've brought the war to you, Europe. They've brought the war to you, Australia. They've brought the war to you, Canada. And they're going to continue bringing them. You see, because I just told you something, and I want you to listen once again. The United States is going to give approximately $40 billion, like as if the Jews need more money, to help destabilize. Now, we already know that the Middle East is destabilized, don't we? So they need to give them another $40 million of your money just for, you know, just to make you impoverished even more. And I said billion. I hope I made that clear. Billion. To destabilize the Middle East further than it is now. So that it looks like they're just going to clear the Middle East out for the most part and bring them all to the white countries so that Mr. Netanyahu and his boyfriend or whatever this Jew is, they can restructure the Middle East however they want to do it, you see? Now, let me read you the couple of Jew quotes here before I go on to the next subject. Listen very carefully. Now, especially you Judeo-Christians who believe that the Jews are God's chosen people and that you believe that the Jews are your friends and your mentors and that you should give your money to them and all that kind of nonsense and that Jesus was a Jew. You're calling Yahweh, you're insulting him, calling him a Jew. Listen to what the Jews say here. Incidentally, we have more in common with Muslims than we do with Christians. Jewish law permits Jews to enter a mosque, listen carefully, but not a church. Now I'm going to read it again so you can get this good and seated in your brain, Judeo-Christian. These are your friends. They're not my friends. They're not Yahweh's friends. They're not anybody's friends. They're not even the Muslims' friends. They're just using them like they use the blacks, like they use the white Shabbos Goy, like they use all kinds of people worldwide. They're using the blacks to a point where the whole world is going to turn against the blacks. And it looks like maybe the Muslims as well. The whole world is going to hate blacks. They will be banished from lands. Nobody will trust them ever again, etc. Because of their deeds, because of what they're doing, because of what the Jews encouraged them to do. Same thing for the Muslims. I'm going to read it again. Incidentally, we have more in common with Muslims. This is the Jews speaking. Incidentally, we have more in common with Muslims than we do with Christians. Jewish law permits Jews to enter a mosque, but not a church. Now, let me read you one more quote. Now, Christian, I want you to pay strict attention to the words. I'm talking to the Judeo. All the rest of us, even the Aryans, know that the Jews are not our brothers, know that the Jews are our enemy. But you Christians think these Jews are your friends. Well, let's see what they have to say about that. This is the quote from the Jews. We're nobody's brothers. We're nobody's brothers. We are God's favorite children without any extra familial affiliations. I accept the fact that the current Pope is not a bloodthirsty enemy of our nation. You don't have a nation, Jew. Don't pretend you have a nation. You don't own that nation. I told you, you're occupying that nation. Yahweh said you will never, ever have a nation, and you never, never will. But anyway, here's the quote again. We're nobody's brothers. We're God's favorite children. Says who? Says the Jew. Without any extra familial affiliations. I accept the fact that the current Pope is not, of course, he's a Jew lover. Is not a bloodthirsty enemy of our nation like so many of his predecessors, but when he too spits on us, it's not rain. Amusing, hmm? These are your friends, Judeo-Christian. They said they're not your brothers. They said they're nobody's brothers, and they're right. They also said that they have more in common with Muslims than they do with you Christians. How much money are the Muslims donating to the Jews, would you say? And now, how much are you so-called Christians, Judeo-Christians, donating to the Jews? So, there's a little nice topic for you. And now the next topic. Let me just take a nice little drink here of this lemonade, which is, or it's actually limeade. It's very delicious. I've spoken about this before, and I want to mention these things again from time to time because I want you to understand them. This is a very brief one, I would believe. But I want to discuss the Masonic apron. The purpose of the Masonic apron is when Adam and Eve sinned, they covered their genital area. And when Yahweh made them some actual good covering, I believe he made it out of leather or something like that. The purpose of the Masonic apron is to show that these people have eaten of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Just as Eve and Adam, now even though there was sexual connotations there, just the idea that their eyes were opened, that they received intellect. Remember when I talked about 2001, the movie, and 2010, with the monolith, when the monkeys touched the monolith, their eyes were opened. They were actually men, but they were in their former. See, the Jews love to pretend that we evolved from monkeys, you see, which couldn't be further from the truth. There's no truth to it whatsoever, but they like to portray those things and get you to believe that you came from a beast of the field like the Jews came from, because they are beasts of the field. So, the Masonic apron, what it means is they're covering the generative principle, which they worship. That's what the shaft of Baal is. That's what the male and female signs all around the world are about. The compass and the square, the compass being the generative principle, the square being the female, looks like a vagina. Same thing in the evil Jewish star, that has nothing to do with the true Israel. It has one pyramid going up, which is the lingam, the male, the generative principle. And it has one going down, which is known as the yoni, which is the female. And what it all really means is it's their message to the world about the sons of God and the daughters of men. Right from the book of Genesis, ladies and gentlemen. It's their message that they are those people. And they communicate that to those who know what it means. That's why you have the obelisk in Washington, D.C., which is 555 feet above the ground and 111 feet below the ground for a total of 666. And it's right next to the pool of water, the female. So you have the male and the female. So they cover the generative principle, their private members, with the Masonic apron. And that is a signal that they've received intellect from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They are like the gods. They are going to become gods, as the promise was to Eve in the garden. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. "You won't die," he said to her. He contradicted Yahweh. Yahweh told her she would die. Guess who was right again? However, these fools, these Shabbos Goy idiots, and people that are just trapped too by accident, our people, believe they're going to become gods. Whether it's they're in the false church there that Harry Reid is a Jew and he pretends he's a Mormon. When Mormons die, they become a god and rule a planet. Ladies and gentlemen, when are you going to get savvy about the Jew? When are you going to wake up to the Jews' nonsense and to their father's nonsense with a lowercase f? So you see, that's what the purpose of the Masonic apron is. These men are asking for light. It is a pseudo-church, a mimicry of the real church, or congregation, really, not church. It is the devil's church. It is the devil's children's church, Freemasonry. It's one of many of the devil's churches. And now the Judeo-Christian church is now a church of deviltry, a church of devil's doctrines, a church of blind men, a congregation of fools whose eyes cannot see, whose ears cannot hear, and whose mouths cannot even speak the truth because they are unaware of the truth. These are the churches of the devil. The Catholic Church is a Babylonian institution. The devil's church, you know, the one out there in California, it doesn't matter. Then you have the one in the UN, Lucius Trust. So anyway, that's enough about that particular situation. I love to speak on these different things because it piques your interest and shows you different aspects of what's really going on here. Now, I want to testify next about Genesis 4:1. You see, a lot of people get confused about that because it says Adam knew Eve, his wife. Well, of course he knew her. She was taken out of him. I know what new means or no means in your ideas. But I want to tell you how I've always read this. And I was listening to Pastor Steve talk about this very verse, and I've heard Bertrand Comparé talk about it. And how he says it, I believe, is something to this effect. I don't quote me exactly, but he says, "And Adam knew his Eve, his wife, and she conceived." Well, how he talks about that is, that doesn't mean both of those went together. You could say, I went to the movies last night, and the sun came up in the morning. They don't go together, together necessarily. They're two different things that happened, but I said them right next to each other. And that's basically what he's trying to say. And Adam knew his wife. But separately, and she conceived. Because actually there's a, I don't know what they call those, I'm not an English major, but it's a dot and a comma, you know, like it's like a colon, but I think they call that, I don't know what they call that kind of colon. You know what I'm talking about. So if it was one sentence, it would have said, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived. But this one has one of those kind of colons in it, okay? So it's two separate events. Now that is how Comparé describes it, and I find that quite humorous. But here's how I've always read it. And I've always known that Yahweh has always helped me understand things no matter what the situation. He helps me not to be deceived some way or another. Now, here's how I read Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, I took that as that wasn't Yahweh. I took that as it was Baal or the devil or, you know, that's one of his many names. Listen to it this way. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from Baal. Well, Steve says, you know, that it doesn't say Yahweh there. I didn't know that. So I just assumed that she had gotten this man from the devil. And that's exactly how I took it. Now, Steve says it's actually translates the mighty one, which means that angel in the garden, which means that deceiver, that enchanter, the tree in the midst of the garden, the same one that the masons put their aprons on because they've received intellect from. You see, Adam and Eve didn't know how to have sex together. But once she touched and once she had sex with that creature and ate of the fruit of sexual happenings, her eyes were opened. And now she shared that with her husband, Adam. And their eyes were opened, knowing of good and evil. See, men can defile themselves with women. You do know that. I don't want to hurt your feelings, women. But we see that in the book of Revelation about the 12,000 from each of the tribes who have not defiled themselves with women. Let me say it again. Defiled themselves with women. So, whether it was in the King James or not, I understood it the way it was. That she had received a man from the Lord. I don't call Yahweh Lord. I got rid of that. I don't call him Baal. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And the key word there is, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And Cain was a tiller of the ground. You see, because it says in verse 3, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto Yahweh. Now, you know what happened. He lied to Yahweh. He killed his brother, and the brother's blood was crying from the ground to Yahweh. Again, this fool thought that Yahweh didn't know that his brother was killed. He thought he would fool Yahweh. Well, he ended up getting cursed so that he could not farm the ground any longer. That's why I say, but Cain was a tiller of the ground, you see? Now, the curse of Cain, as we know, is he would not be able to farm. So now he'd have to rely on the seed of Adam or the beast of the field, who many of them can't till the ground either. See, that's why Adam was brought here, to take care of the ground, to take care of the farming and everything else, to take care of the important things in the world, to run the world, etc. So Cain was cursed so that he couldn't be a farmer. He was also a vagabond and wanderer, and was told that he would have no nation of his own, because that's what to be a wanderer and a vagabond is. This is the reason why the Jews of today and yesterday are internationalists. They have no country of their own. They love no single country. They don't have Israel over there, that fake Israel. They're occupying a portion of it. They do not have a land of their own. They have never had a land of their own in reality. And they never will. Now, this is something else that I have to keep on mentioning, because you've got people like Tex Mars who's pretending he doesn't know this is know the story about this. I don't really want to call him a liar, but I don't really understand his motivation in trying to tell you that the Jews are of the tribe of Judah, and number two, that the Khazars are not Jews at all. Because I'm going to tell you this one more time. I'll tell you it again, I'm sure. When the German film, and see, they didn't know about that they were Israelites, so they didn't realize what they were saying in this film. When the Khazars were coming into Europe, there was not a farmer among them, and it says so in The Eternal Jew. So you're not going to tell me that's propaganda, because they don't even understand that they're Israelites, and they don't even understand what the story is here about them. In other words, farmers are hard workers. The Germans realized that these Jews did not want to work at all. They tried to put them to work, and they didn't like to work any more than blacks do. That's why I laugh at the fact that black people say that they were slaves, and Jews taught, you know, I wouldn't give you $5. I wouldn't even take a free black slave or a free Jew slave either. Are you joking? So the Germans realized that these people just wanted to sell things out of their suitcases, and then eventually they'd maybe get a table set up, and they were always bartering and yelling and screaming, and there's bugs crawling all around. They don't care about that. Doesn't bother them a bit. They're beasts of the field. Cleanliness is far from Jews. And if you went to Palestine at the time with the Jews over there, or if you went to another place where the Jews were, they were filthy people. Bugs crawling all over the walls. They didn't care. They had plenty of money. They could have bought better places. They don't care. But my point is, there was not a farmer among the Khazars. So do not try to tell me, Mr. Mars, that the Khazars are not Jews or Canaanites, because they have the curse of Cain within them. They are not able to farm. They are Jews. They are merchants. So I don't want to hear this good Jew, bad Jew nonsense that the Jews try to put out with Benjamin Friedman and all these different people, trying to tell you that 5% of the Jews are good Jews, and these Khazars are not Jews at all, and they're the ones causing all the problems in the banks and everywhere else around the world. BS. Now, I forgot to mention this one thing when I was speaking about that I was talking to Eli earlier. It must have been yesterday or something. I don't remember. But I said, Eli, I wanted Yahweh to allow me to be retired so that I could just work for Yahweh. Well, unfortunately, the answer comes to me on why Yahweh did not answer that to me about being retired for him at this point. He didn't say no, but he didn't say yes. But here's the answer on why I think it might be no. You see, Adam also had a curse. And Adam's curse was that he would work from cradle to grave. maybe not from right from the cradle, but definitely all the way till he died. That is the curse on us Adamic people. So if you wonder why I might not be able to retire, it's because the curse of working until I die is upon me. I just thank the Father for one thing about that. How would you like to live for 800 years and work until you died? Whew, must have been heavy. Of course, they didn't live like we live today. You know, the French, just to go off on a little tangent about that, the French have a beloved 35-hour work week. And the filthy government over there, chock full of Jews, decided that they were going to put they weren't going to change the 35-hour week thing, but they were going to allow corporations to have people to work up to 60 hours or other regulations like that. So the French went absolutely nutso. Now, to tell you the truth, 35 hours a week looks good to what most people are doing in America. We wish we had 35-hour week work week. We wish that in the middle of the day we could take an hour off or 2 hours off for lunch or whatever they have. They had a pretty good setup over there in France. And I think hopefully they're not going to stand for that and they're going to keep it. Another thing I might mention is that Adam lived 930 years. Now, of course, Adam, the Adamic seed line, brought forth Israel, didn't it? And the number for Israel in the Bible is 12. So if I told you Adam lived 930 years, you'd figure out pretty quickly that 9 and 3 is 12, and you drop the zero. So I put it this way. Here's the equation. Adam lived 930 years equals 12 equals Israel. Take it for what it's worth, maybe. I just think of it to be interesting. One other little thing I thought of, and I don't know what you'll think of this, but the Jews love to do things in humor. And they love to show you things that they're happy about. Now, we used to have a situation comedy here in America called the Addams Family. Do you get where I might be going with this? See, Adam's family, these were perverted people that took moon baths instead of sun bathing. They did everything the opposite of what real people do, but it was done in the guise of humor. But in reality, it was all perversions. It was perverted, a perverted family, an evil family, a family of the living dead. And the name of that family? The Addams Family. Could that refer to you and I as Israelites? Is the joke on us? Yes, it's a simple thing I'm saying, but think about what I'm trying to imply and what exactly they are and were trying to imply. Adam's family. These Jews are sly and they're slick. And so now I would like to maybe move over to some Proverbs, because as always, we need wisdom and knowledge. And so every time I have a chance to impart some wisdom and knowledge to you, and just plain old good advice that comes right out of the Bible or the books, I will help you. Chapter 14, we finished 13 previously, so let's go to chapter 14. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in uprightness feareth Yahweh, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. This is one of the key ones, and we've heard this one many times. This is verse, that was verse 11, okay? That's Esau. Listen to that again. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown. 11 for Edom. 11 for the Edomite Jews. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Verse 12. I must tell you that our race seems to have a lot of know-it-alls within it. And I came across a string of them a few days ago. Listen to verse 12, because you've heard this many times. There is no denying, though, that this is the truth. Here it is, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, you could be on a path that seems right to you, if you're leaning on your own understanding, that is. But the end thereof are the ways of death. See, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I see lots of people that are obsessed with death. Whether they're gothics, whether they got, coffins, or they love skulls or any of this stuff. They're obsessed with death. Verse 13. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now listen to this one, number 15, and pay attention. See, like I told you, like Yeshua told you, that you must seek the truth and the truth will set you free. You can't believe in the fairy tales and the fables of the Jews, that they're God's chosen people, that Jesus was a Jew, that you need to be, that they're your elder brothers, and that Christianity came from Judaism, which is not even a religion. I will tell you that Judeo-Christianity came from Judaism, though. That's the difference. So let's hear this voice, because many of our race are very gullible, and it's time to be prudent. So let's see, verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. See, the simple watch the Talmud vision, and they believe every word the Jew tells them. The simple go to the Judeo-Christian church and believe everything that pastor tells them. The simple go to the courthouse and believe everything that they tell them there, etc., etc. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. He's watching where he's walking. He's watching what he's believing. He's seeking the truth to make sure that he doesn't just simply believe every word that he hears. Because as the Apostle Paul has said, there are many voices in the world. And as far as I'm concerned, there's too damn many voices in the world. And you got to be very, very selective and very, very careful on what voices you're listening to. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Now right there's your black race right there. But there's many people right there too. We've got to be slower to anger. The black race could be popped off just with a word or a look. So verse 17, and they're becoming hated because of what they're doing. Like I told you, the whole world is beginning to hate the black race. I just saw this thing about India. They hate the black people there. And now they're starting to become hated here too. And soon there'll be no place for them to go. Soon there'll be no place. There'll be no peace in their house, I can guarantee that, and there isn't. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Now, somebody is training these blacks, giving them keywords to get upset about. Even a look. Just upset at Whitey because Whitey is the problem, he's told is the problem of his life. So he becomes soon angry and does very foolish things. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Yes, how many rich men have found out that when they became poor, they became hated and had all those friends that they had when they were rich seem to have disappeared and evaporated. What does that tell you? It tells you that you may have a friend or two if you're rich, but most of the friends that are around you are superficial. That's what it tells you. They're there just for the riches. They're not there for you. Because if you weren't rich anymore, they'd still be with you. So the poor is hated even of his own neighbor. But the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of Yahweh is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Now that's a voice. That's a voice, yeah, a voice. That's how you say it in New York, a voice. There's a voice I can really use right now. In the fear of Yahweh is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of Yahweh is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Yes, when we were a righteous nation before the Jew ruined everything in our nation, we were an exalted nation. Do you not agree? But sin is a reproach to any people. You see, now that we're not obeying Yahweh, now that we've succumbed to the Jews' will and believed their fables, and will go and kill all sorts of people for debt notes, it is a reproach to us. We are base, a base people compared to what we were. When we were a white nation, we were a right nation. Oh, you're a racist. Yeah, you know, swallow your tongue, pal. I couldn't care less what you think. I'll say it again. When we were a white nation, we were a right nation. And righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. You see, our wrath should be against the Jew who has caused us this shame. Our wrath should be against anybody, even in our race, that has helped to cause this shame. I'm very angry with our military. I'm very angry with the white people that have turned against their own race for debt notes. You see, if we did have a king or a president, the king's favor is toward a wise servant. If we had a proper president or king, of course he would favor the wise servants, the ones that were bringing righteousness to the nation, the ones that were bringing happiness to the people of the nation. But his wrath would be against him that causeth shame. Well, we know that the Jews were kicked out of nations of Europe 109 times. And they're about to be kicked out of all of our nations again because they have brought shame to our nations. Because they are a shameful people. Chapter 15, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I'm going to tell you, that's a secret right there. Say if somebody is screaming at the top of their lungs on you. If you answer real slow and say, what's the problem? Like that, it calms them down. Literally, that's a secret. That's wisdom. That's knowledge. That's understanding how to navigate people. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of Yahweh are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit, Mr. Bill Clinton. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Yahweh, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto Yahweh, but he that loveth him follow after righteousness. Correction is grievous to him that forsaketh the way. Who is the way? Yeshua said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Verse 10 here says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before Yahweh, how much more the hearts of the children of men. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All of the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of Yahweh than a great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but the foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Yahweh will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to Yahweh, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Yahweh is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of Yahweh is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just pure good advice. I hope you got something out of this show. I hope you learned a few things. I thank you for listening. And I hope you'll come back again. Please like our videos and share our videos. Help us to get this message out to our brothers and sisters. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. And until next time, study to show thyself approved.